you live with this first rendition of Headlines from the Hill.
Woohoo!
Man, great opportunity for us to connect with you and just touch base about some various updates and announcements regarding to life and ministry here at Oak Hill. Hey, you know, Josiah, fall is my favorite time of year, and as normally happens in the fall at Oak Hill, we've got our various fall ministries that start up. And so tomorrow, we're going to be sending an email out to you that's going to detail our fall ministry plan, what fall ministry is going to look like here at Oak Hill this year. And so check your inboxes tomorrow for more information on that.
Yeah, and this fall, we have lots of different ways for you to get connected here at Oak Hill Church. We have Bible studies and small groups happening. If you'd like to get connected, feel free to reach out to our friend Drew Skoge, the Director of Community Life, and he'll get you all plugged in. We also have some needs in our volunteer categories with the nursery, being part of ushers or greeters, or also being part of our sound and video team on Sunday mornings. If you would like to get connected with that, please reach out to us and we'll take good care of you.
Also on Monday, September 21st at 7 o'clock, we're going to be having our next congregational meeting, and that's going to be online. So early this week, you should have received an email that details all the information and details that you need for this meeting. And if you didn't get a chance to look at that or receive that, please contact the church office. We'll make sure that information gets to you.
And it's the time of year where we start collecting donations for Operation Christmas Child. If you'd like to find a list of items that can be donated, you can either look at the view or go on to Operation Christmas Child's website and find a list of those. We're accepting donations and they can be dropped off at the Fellowship Hall or in the Children's Ministry Office.
Lastly, on Sunday, September 27th, from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock at night, we're going to have our next drive-in communion and prayer time. So I'm going to be hanging out in the church parking lot. Some of the elders will be too. And we invite you to just drive in at any time in that hour, park your vehicle, we'll take the Lord's Supper together, pray with you. It'll be a wonderful time to connect with you from the comfy confines of our parking lot and your own vehicle. So we'll look forward to seeing some of you on the 27th.
And Ben, youth group will be happening during that time too. So parents, feel free to drop off your kids there and then head on over and get communion. But Ben, I think that's a wrap.
Oh, that's a wrap.
And that's our first ever Headlines from the Hill. So thank you for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your service. Director here at Oak Hill, and man, is it good to be together this morning, both in person and those tuning in online. Welcome. We're so glad that you're here. And the reason why we are so happy and so glad that we're able to be together is because we gather in Jesus' name, the one who brings hope, the one who brings life, the one who brings joy. That's the God we worship. So if you would like to rise, if you're able, for the call of worship, that would be great.
Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 111, verses 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. I will thank the Lord with all of my heart as I meet with his godly people. How amazing are the deeds of the Lord. All who delight in him should ponder them. Everything he does reveals his glory and majesty. His righteousness never fails.
Rise and fall.
Let's sing this out. You give life.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken.
God is so great. He gave us life and he gave us breath, and we know that life can be hard and that there is suffering and there's pain, and that's why God didn't just give us life when he created us. He gave us eternal life. He sacrificed his son for us, and that's a reality that we can live in, and that's truth. And as we come and read this word this morning, just like you to think about that and just think about that Jesus' blood was enough for us. Hebrews 13, 11 through 16 says, under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin. And the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore. For this world is not our permanent home. We're looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. And we know that. Every heart we encounter, we know they're suffering too. We all have pain and we all have struggle and we all have these broken hearts that God can mend. And we proclaim that this morning, that his blood was enough and that we're loved and we can love others through that. Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we just approach your throne once again this morning only because of the sacrifice you made of your son for us. His blood was enough. It's different for us now. We know that we have eternal life through you, that we're forgiven, that we're loved, that you can mend our broken hearts, that we can bring anything to you this morning and know that we are forgiven and that you still love us and that you're never going to let us go. And I just lift up all the hearts in this room this morning. I lift up the hearts of Oak Hill Church, that any broken hearts, that all of us that are going through some hard times would know that Jesus' blood was enough for them and for all of us and always will be. And we're grateful for that this morning. Help us to love others through that today, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's continue worshiping together.
That we're calling pillars as we walk through some of these core values that we have at Oak Hill Church. And we began a couple weeks ago with our vision statement, right? Connecting lives in grace and truth. And then these four values kind of flow out of that to both describe and define who we are and what we are about or deem important as a church. And so just like every recipe has an ingredient list, these are our essential ingredients that will hopefully identify us and our personality as a church. And so last week, we looked at our first pillar, which was biblical truth, and how this kind of sets the standard and the foundation for everything that we do and say. We found that the Word of God is the central authority to our lives. It houses and defines what real, authentic truth is and looks like. And then it also describes how we can have our lives shaped by it. We have our lives shaped by the truth. And so that brings us to our second pillar this morning, relationships. And that's a huge topic, right? That's a loaded word. And if we wanted to, we could spend months just on those first two things, biblical truth and relationships. You think about it. If we didn't have biblical truth or relationships,
what would we have that would be of any meaning or purpose? Not much. So we get started. And our main scripture passage as a church that we use to kind of define and describe this relationships pillar comes from Matthew chapter 22. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there. The words will appear on the screen as well. But in Matthew 22, we start in verse 34. We're going to read through verse 40. And we're going to read about this exchange between the Pharisees and Jesus. And in verse 34 of Matthew 22, it reads, "Now hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him, Jesus, with this question. 'Teacher,' he asked, 'which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.'" All right, we're in the habit of taking polls this morning, so let's just do one more. Will you? Okay. Thanks for your patience. The people online are going, "This is great. You can't even see if I'm following along or not." Okay. Now, how many of you would consider yourself to be extroverts? Raise your hands. Okay, a few of you. And if we go to the other side of the mixing bowl, the introverts in the house, right? You're not even raising your hand, some of you. No. And now right in the middle, anybody would say, "Well, I'm pretty undecided on that. I'm actually kind of right in the middle. I can be aspects of both." There's maybe a few of us, right? But it's interesting when it comes to relationships, it's interesting to see where we naturally fall on one side of the spectrum or the other. Some of you feel immensely energized and filled up when you're around other people. You actively seek out family or friends or really anyone with a pulse for connection. And after a long week, maybe your first thought is, "Oh, I wonder who's ready to hang out," right? That's some of you. And for other people, that's like the last thing they want to do. Right, their definition of a fulfilling and recharging moment is to be alone. And by alone, I mean like off the grid, right? Maybe tucked in the mountains. They have a hammock. They've got a good book and a Yeti full of coffee. That kind of sounds really nice, doesn't it? But here's a reality for us this morning. No matter which side of that spectrum you fall on or anywhere else in between, we were all made for connection. All of us, every single person, we were created for relationships. And the Bible tells us that God created us to be in relationship with Him ultimately. In Genesis, we read that God's essential purpose for creating you and everyone else that has ever walked this planet is because He loved you and desired to be in connection with you. So God chose us, He chose you and me, to literally be the ultimate object of His love. If you think about that, that should be a really humbling thing, that God chose me because He wanted to hang out with me and be in relationship with me, to love me. God created humanity in His image, in His likeness, for His glory. He created us, He rescues us, and He redeems us, all because He wants relationship with us. And so not only does God create us for relationship with Him, but He also creates in us this need and desire for relationship with other people as well. And another example of that is revealed at the very beginning at creation. We read that God had created the heavens and the earth and all the plants and the animals, and He even creates the first human being named Adam. And as God is looking things over, He notices that something was still missing, right? Adam's life was still incomplete. And that's when all the women in the room are going, "You're telling me," right? And when God looks things over in Genesis 2, we read that He declares, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now, typically, you'd hear this verse quoted like in some marriage or wedding ceremony or setting. You might hear this typically at a wedding, but this is speaking to more than just marriage. Clearly, this passage is focused on a husband and wife relationship, but the broader truths of it extend far beyond that. The reality is, we were not made to be alone. It is not good for us to be alone. We were not created to do this life by ourselves. And typically, in a Western civilization or our culture and society, that's kind of like an odd thing, right? Like, you're not supposed to need anything or anyone, right? What we're told is, well, wait a second. I don't need anything. I can run my own life my own way with my own strength, my own abilities, my own moxie. I can take care of things myself. I'm independent. I can handle it. I don't need anyone else or anything else. And it's not just Scripture that speaks against that, but even our modern culture and society would speak against that too. If you are familiar with the work of American psychologist Abraham Maslow, he did extensive research on human need and motivation, and he highlights this same theme that we see in Scripture. In his hierarchy of needs, Maslow says that in order for a person to achieve their fullest potential, there's certain basic needs that have to be met. And these first two are pretty obvious. The first one is those are physiological needs, right? Things like food and water and shelter. And then the second level has to deal with matters of safety, right? Like, do I feel safe or am I secure? But right after those two, notice what comes in at the number three spot. It's our need to belong. We were made for relationships, and we need them, whether we want to admit it or not. And as we hear about that and think about that, I think that's got to be one of the biggest challenges that we've been experiencing together these last 6 months. Because I know for some of you, maintaining the relationships in your life have been, at best, a struggle. If these past 6 months have taught us anything or reinforced anything, it is this truth. We were designed for relationships, and we need them. Sure, I mean, the inner introvert in all of us probably appreciated at some level the first 2 months of everything, right? Like, oh, cool. I mean, that's fine. Now, I don't know. As things have progressed, this loneliness or this isolation or this feeling of disconnectedness has started to set in and take its toll mentally and emotionally. I felt it. I know you felt it too. And so we've had to adapt, right? You've had to adjust. You've probably been making more phone calls than you ever have before. You're probably sending more texts than you ever had before. I bet all of you could lead a how-to session on how to run a Zoom meeting or FaceTime. Why do we do that? Because we need to connect, right? We were designed to connect. We're wired to connect with other people, with the Lord. And that's been hard, and that's been a challenge at best to do right and well recently. And so I know for some of you, your relational batteries are pretty low. Or just thinking about all this is creates this overwhelming feeling inside of you. And for others, you just literally want to go and give somebody a hug. Right? Zoom is great, but it is not a fix-all. So if we were to do a personal assessment, you and I, on the relationships in our life, how are you doing? When it comes to your relationship with the Lord, how are things going? How's it been going? Have you found yourself these past few months being drawn closer and closer to the reality that, wow, I need him to fill me up every day with joy and energy? Or have you found yourself drifting and you can't really remember the last time you had a good talk, and maybe things started off well, but now it's just kind of blended all together and you're just trying to push through on your own, and where's that getting you or me? Have you been trying to do this alone? Or how about your relationship with your families, right? Some of you have appreciated the extra time. I've spoken with you. You said, I appreciate the extra time of being at home with my spouse or with the kids. And then you realize and recognize, you know, but heading off to the office or sending them off to school every day, there was some perks there. There just was. Probably because they were all sick of me, right? Or maybe you really haven't had an opportunity to see family much outside of just on a screen, and you're sick of it. Or our friends or our social circles or our brothers and sisters in the Lord at church, it's been a struggle. So honestly, where are you at? Where are we at with our relationships? And oddly enough, this answer might come from the old days of social media. I'm trying to be both funny and serious here. If you were to have created a Facebook profile years ago, there was an option for you to pick your relationship status. And you could pick things like single or dating or engaged or married or whatever. But there was one option. I don't know if it still exists. I doubt it. There was one option that stuck out among all the rest. And the option was, it's complicated. I won't ask you who's actually done that. But I don't even know what that means, right? It's complicated. But maybe if we're thinking about it, maybe that's what we would use to describe and assess our relationships right here, right now. It's just complicated. For many of us, relationships are complicated. If you're in a relationship that involves just one other person, things are bound to get complicated at some point. But the breakdown of our relationships really has nothing to do with a global health crisis or social distancing. It comes, more often than not, when the wrong ingredients are brought to the recipe. All right, if we can go back to reliving my glory days as a blue ribbon winning cornbread maker for just a second, there were two clear examples that I left out, or maybe I just saved them for this part, right? There were times where I didn't get the recipe right, or I didn't properly read or balance the necessary ingredients, which led to the result being not so tasty. I can remember the time where I thought the recipe called for baking soda when it should have been baking powder. I'm sure maybe some of you have done that before too. Or there was one time where I confused the measurements between the sugar and the salt. I mean, they were right next to each other, and I thought it was weird that the recipe called for a full cup of salt, but it's what it said. That was not a good taste test, by the way. Just like putting the wrong ingredients in a recipe, there are times in our life where the wrong ingredients show up and are added to the recipes of our relationships. And we all have examples of this, right? Maybe you brought them, or maybe they were mixed in by somebody else, but either way, the outcome doesn't taste so great. And these don't just happen in our personal lives, they happen within the church too. If we consider just a small list of what some of these wrong ingredients are that just don't mix, we see things like unresolved conflict, or unforgiveness, or pride, or unfulfilled expectations, right? I thought things were going to be this way, or I thought things were going to be like this, and they're not. Or gossip, or negative words, or when groups remain really closed off. Those things happen. And when those things happen, things get messy and complicated. But the beautiful thing is that when you follow a recipe, it doesn't need to be complicated. Now, I'm not saying things won't get messy or that things won't be challenging or difficult, but I'm saying it doesn't need to be complicated. And the same thing goes with our relationships. We've been given a recipe to follow, this proper order of ingredients. If we look back at Matthew 22, Jesus reminds us of this essential list. Jesus replies in verse 37. He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." All the law and the prophets, essentially the whole Bible, hang on these two commandments. And so first, we must consider the love that we have for God, because that's the base of everything. It's the greatest commandment. It's the most essential ingredient, loving God and putting him first. And so it brings us back to kind of our relational assessment this morning. How is loving God with your all looking like right now? What does that look like for you? But I want us to think about, as is so often the case, Scripture tends to reverse this natural order of things, and we're invited to view God's greatness and his goodness to us in some role-reversing ways, because perhaps it would do us some good to first consider the love that God has for us. And so what if we were to start there this morning? What if you started there this morning? What does God think about you? Because God is the ultimate source of love. He's the designer and he's the head chef of every single relationship, because it all comes from him first. And one of Jesus' closest followers, John, writes in his first letter in the fourth chapter, he writes, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So if you caught that, you realize, man, God loves me first. And he loves you first. He didn't just talk the talk, but he walked the walk. And he proved, so John says, he proved how much he loves you by sending his son to suffer and die for you so that you could live. And I don't know about the relationships in your life, but that's commitment. That's wanting relationship. That's love, because it's not that we loved God so much or so well that we deserved his. It's the fact that he gave it to us first. And that might be review for some of you. That might sound so simple, but that's it. Ingredients are not meant to be complicated. That's the essential ingredient in all relationships, God's love for you first. And that's Scripture's tone over and over again. And some of you are thinking, well, yeah, but man, there's no way, right? Absolutely not. Does God know what I've done in my past? Does God know what last week looked like for me? All the sin traps that I've fallen into? He is absolutely reconsidering his choice to love me. In response to that, every time God shuts all of that down and he simply points it back to the cross. Because for him, every time the cross is the proof. It's literally the answer that silences all the doubts. That whenever your inner self or whatever tells you to question God's love and commitment to you, he says, that's how far. That's how far I've gone to be in relationship with you. I've come from heaven to earth. I've come from the depths of rejection and death to say, that's how much I love you. That's how much I want relationship with you. And that's an invitation that is extended to everybody, regardless of status or regardless of past or regardless how broken and messy your life might be right now, there's that invitation to connect with him and to truly belong. I mean, just think about some of the people that Jesus hung around, the people that he called his closest friends. Like, who were they, right? Fishermen. And a tax collector, and an anti-Roman freedom fighter, and a traitor. Those are not people that make the list of Hollywood celebrities or really important people. And yet they connected with him. They were captivated by his love. They were just pumped about his desire for friendship with them. So the reality is for us in Christ, you have a place to belong too. That same invitation goes for you and I, too. And we have that first ingredient in place, then we move to the second essential ingredient. When we love God first, or when we recognize and live out of the fact that he loves us the most, it is then and only then that we can love other people the best. And that's what we're invited to do. Jesus said this second greatest commandment, this second essential ingredient is like the first, loving your neighbor. And John expands on this in this portion of his opening letter. He writes, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." So this love of God that he has for us is both a freeing and a powerful thing. It's the essential ingredient to all of the relationships in our lives because God's love has set us free to respond in grace. It sets us free to love people who are different than us. It sets us free to love people who annoy you. It sets us free to love people who see the world differently, and it sets us free to love people with the love that has been given to us by Christ. So what might that look like here at Oak Hill Church? How might this reality of God's love bubble up inside of us to reach out to one another and connect our lives as brothers and sisters in Christ? And in a couple of weeks, we're going to see how this love of God is actually invited and invites us to go beyond this inner circle, right, to those around us in our communities and our places where we work and go to school and around the world, right? But for this week, we're going to stay kind of in-house. Just how are we loving on one another? How are we in relationship with one another? Because God calls us and he invites us to live in love as a church family. And just like any family that you're a part of, there's going to be times where we don't get along, or we don't see eye to eye, where we disagree, or we're impatience, or miscommunication, all these wrong ingredients kind of bubble up to the surface. But in those moments, what if we were to allow God's love to set us free to be humble? To recognize this gift of forgiveness and grace that we have been shown first and pass that along instead of holding a grudge or creating an argument. What if we were defined by the way that we encouraged one another and built each other up in the way that God is at work in people's lives? What if each of us could broaden our social and relational circles just a bit more to figuratively and literally put an arm around somebody? Or to make a phone call checking in on someone, or to let someone know you appreciate them or you're praying for them, and to send that email or text of gratitude just because. What would that look like? You see, when it comes to the recipe of life and the recipe of relationships, the essential ingredients are pretty simple. Love God and love people. That's it. There's really no secret. It's the love of God that transforms our hearts and our minds and our relationships to be formed and unified as we connect our lives together in grace and truth. It's the love of God that defines us as his own, as his family. And Jesus himself declared that this would be true. It would be evident to everybody else by the way we love each other. As he tells his disciples in John 13, Jesus reminds his followers, he says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need your love in our lives. There are times when we bring things to the table that make that feel distant, or there's things in our life that create doubt, cause us to question, Lord, but we need your reminder that you loved us first, that you love us the most. And Lord, you've also invited us to extend the love that you give to us to flow out of us into the lives of others as we connect with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's hard sometimes too, for a whole lot of different reasons. And Lord, instead of pointing fingers or instead of just saying, well, maybe let somebody else connect with them, Lord, would you do a work in our lives as you transform us and renew us to desire connection. The same feeling of belongingness that we have in your family, may we desire that for other people that we encounter, that they would truly belong, that they know their value and their worth and their importance. So Lord, I pray for the relationships in all of our lives, the ones that are within this building, the ones that are within our coworkers or our classmates or our communities, Lord, be in them, be working in them to shine the light of your truth and your love through each of us. Fill us up with your love so we can love others. In your name I pray. Amen.
If you could please stand, let's respond and worship this morning. Thank you.
Glorify, and holy, holy.
So who do you need to connect with this morning, this week? Maybe it's a friend or a family member or somebody from church. Maybe it's the Lord. I know He'd love to connect with you. Receive this benediction from Romans chapter 15. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you and me the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Praise God.